In the name of Jesus, amen. The sheep lay down their lives for the shepherd. Any good shepherd knows this. He will protect them, he will guide them, he will care for them, but only in his own interest, so that he might later slaughter them. For primarily they have worth to him as fleece and meat. They lay down their lives for him. Now here we have Jesus making a most radical claim. Our text is the tail end of a discourse where he tells us that he is the good shepherd, not because he protects, guides, or even cares for his flock, but because he lays down his life for them. In his laying down his life, we see what makes him good. He is good because he fulfills the Father's will and wins salvation for you through his all-availing sacrifice on the cross. He is the ram in the thicket. He is the perfect Passover lamb who provides his own blood for your doorposts so that the angel of death passes over. He takes your place in hell so that you might go free. He is indeed good. Among those listening to our Lord speak of his sacrifice are the religious leaders. Jesus leaves no doubt that by describing himself as the good shepherd, he is drawing a stark contrast between himself and them. Them he calls hirelings, those who are in it for themselves. The hireling knows nothing of the sacrificial love our Lord is speaking of. He is not willing to go to the point of laying down his life for the sheep. When the wolf comes, he flees, says our Lord, for he does not really care for nor love the sheep. He cares first and foremost about himself. What a contrast to the self-giving love of the Good Shepherd. Now this hireling talk should make us squirm, for here we are, pious, committed Christian men, desiring to be the Lord's under-shepherds, and there is more hireling in us than Good Shepherd. For our love is not outward and sacrificial. Rather, it is turned inward upon ourselves and our own interests, just like the hireling. What matters most to us is our reputation, our ambitions, our ease of life. We know we are to love our people with that same sort of sacrificial, self-giving love of the Good Shepherd. In fact, professors often tell us that when we get out there, the main thing is to get out there and love our people. But what is our track record with love? How loving are we amongst ourselves at the seminary? We think nothing of being petty. Slander is but a sport among us, and we are quite skilled at putting the worst construction on everything. Love your people, we can only repent. And it's not only that way among us here, but it's also the way we've lived as husbands, fathers, and sons. We have neglected our families, been angry with them, been sarcastic with them, all in the name of doing the Lord's work. And what it all boils down to is not just a lack of love for each other, but for God himself. Although he died and loved all unconditionally, we pick and choose. Frankly, if we are judged by our love, we are damned. That is why hearing of Jesus laying down his life brings such gladness to the sinner's heart. That is why Jesus' words telling us of his sacrifice are so sweet, sweeter than honey to the mouth. For when he laid down his life for us, our sins and our death went with him, and we were judged righteous. This is truly love. As St. John the Evangelist tells us also in his epistle, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. His perfect love covers our pettiness. His mercy blots out our anger and the fruits of our vicious tongues. His death has brought peace between us and the Father. Because of his work, the Father no longer sees your stony heart, but sees the fleshy, beating heart of Jesus. That is why we can sing with Luther, with all gusto, "Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Life shall from death the victory win. My innocence shall bear thy sin. So art thou blessed forever." Jesus comes to serve, to give, to die, to love. So unlike our love, his doesn't know any bounds. In fact, he came to save us, made himself of no reputation, humbling himself and becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. Yes, that cross reveals the horrible truth of our sinful condition, but even better, it reveals the depth of our Lord's love for us. But the Good Shepherd's work did not end at the cross. He laid down his life and rose again, only that he might lay it down again on the altars of his church and feed you with his life-giving flesh and blood. It is in the green pastures of his church where you are washed again and again. And it is in the church where you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, inviting you to trust him, cling to him, cling to his words which tell you the lengths he has been willing to go to help you and to save you. Marvel at this. Marvel at the depth of the self-giving love of our Good Shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen.